actually have been looking through the book of Colossians. I've kind of been going over, reviewing with you each week. And I had 10 questions that to start out with and everything here on PowerPoint, but our computer this morning, the power cord died through it. So we're without that tonight, but I still want to ask you guys some questions. Because I think reviewing is so important to not just look at it once. Maybe jot some notes down, put them off to the side. But at the end of the study of a book, to be able to say, hey, I remember some of the things. And every time you come back to the book of Colossians, and as we read those pages in our personal and daily devotions, we're kind of reminded of some of those things. So I think that's important. So I've got some questions for you. What is a memory of the past that helps guide us in our daily life and walk with Christ? I don't have multiple choice this week, so maybe it's a little bit more difficult.
Faith.
Very good. Faith.
Who was the faithful minister who most likely brought the gospel to the city of Colossae and became somebody that would be instrumental in the founding of the church?
Epaphras.
Very good. Can someone tell us three things that Jesus Christ did for us that we should be thankful for in our relationship with him? I listed three things that we should be thankful for. Can somebody give us one?
Qualified.
He qualified us. Thank you, Charlie. He delivered us or rescued us. Yeah, and what was the third one? He brought us or translated us. He moved us to that place or that relationship with Jesus Christ. Very good. I can kind of hear some people. Don't be afraid to speak up. Sometimes in school I'll ask questions and I'll hear, I have some people shout out answers, whether they're right or wrong or whatever. And sometimes I'll be looking for the right answer and there'll be this sweet little girl in the back. There's one especially. Her name's Sarah. And I'll hear, after I've given the answer, I'm waiting for the answer, I'll usually say the answer, and she said, I haven't said that for 5 minutes. And I said, I couldn't hear you or anything you said. So don't be afraid to say that answer right out, because I think some of you guys are saying the right answers. What is it that Jesus Christ did for us in our relationship with God as a banker, and he cleared the debt that we owed with his blood? Clear? Forgiveness. Very good. Forgiveness. And what is it that Jesus Christ did for us when he purchased us out of the slave market of sin and set us free to serve him? Redeemed us. Very good. When we talk about the word, some people say, that sounds a lot like the word icon, icon, where it's the word used for the likeness placed on a coin, and it carries the idea of the correspondence of the original. Actually, what was that word in the scripture?
Image.
Very good. Very good. And when we talk about Christ being the firstborn of creation, or the firstborn of the resurrection, what is it that we're talking about? Is it talking about he's just the first one that God created?
He holds rank.
He holds rank. Very good. He holds rank over those things because he is the author of our salvation. He is our creator. He answers the question of how we got here. And so we're so thankful for those things. I don't know about you, but I do not like conflict. Not at all. And sometimes in life, I have been the cause of conflict. And I have made an enemy or two. There has even been some times where I caused some conflict and I offended someone, and I didn't even know that I did. Didn't do it on purpose. Wasn't trying to. But I said something or did something that offended someone. And probably you've been in that situation too. Have you ever, when that's what you've done, and you realize someone maybe's come and told you, did you know that this person's mad at you because you did this? And, or you hear what you've done, and all of a sudden you realize that, and your heart just like sinks. And you go to bed at night, and you think about, what could I have done differently? How can I fix this relationship? And you can't sleep. Has that happened to anybody else besides me? Probably somebody in this room. Or where you've been in that situation where you've done something and you know you're at fault, whether it was on purpose or not, and it really bothered you. And you want to get that fixed. And so then the next day you pick up the phone or you go to that person and you get that feeling, okay, I have to fix this relationship. And you feel about this big as you apologize for something that you've done. And you just feel so nervous, so scared, and you wonder, is that person going to be able to accept my forgiveness? Well, when we think about what I'd like to talk about tonight, could you imagine standing before God and you're so guilty? And one by one, the ways you have offended him, you have no excuse. There were times where you did it defiantly. You did it with all of your heart. And you disobeyed the Lord, the God, the Creator. And then you come face to face in front of him. This is worse than getting in trouble with mom. Worse than being sent to the principal. Worse than standing before the judge. Worse than being captured in an enemy battlefield and brought before the enemy's commander as someone who's been kidnapped in a conflict. But what does God do with us? And so as we begin, as we look in the scriptures, let's go to Genesis chapter 32. Genesis chapter 32. And in Genesis chapter 32, Jacob is coming back to the land that God has promised him that he would come bring him back. As Jacob was leaving the land, and you guys remember the story where Jacob lays down on the rock, and the heavens are open, and he sees that staircase coming down, and the angels ascending and descending on it, and God says, you can go away, but I promise you that while you're gone, I will be with you, and I will bring you back to this place. And right before he left, he made an enemy, a big enemy, his brother, who had been his enemy since before they were born. And he was always the guy tripping his brother up and doing things to really ruin the relationship. And the last thing that he had heard from Esau is, if you come back here, I will kill you. And from everything that I've read in Scripture and just looking at Jacob and Esau, when Esau said that to his brother, that wasn't an empty threat. He was a guy that it appears would make good on his promise. It says in Genesis chapter 32, it says, then the messengers returned to Jacob, saying, We came to your brother, Esau. He also is coming to meet you, and 400 men are with him. So Jacob was greatly afraid and distressed, and he divided the people that were with him, and the flocks, and the herds, and the camels, into two companies. Jacob, he was terrified. I'm sure his knees were knocking, and he was terrified to come back to talk to Esau. And now he hears, not only is his brother, the great hunter, who would say, I want you dead, but now his brother is coming to him, and he's got an army of 400 men with him. And I just look at the life of Abraham, how Abraham, when Lot was captured, and Abraham had an army that was ready to go chase down Lot and save him. I have to think that this wasn't just 400 guys, that 400 of Esau's buddies, but this was an army ready for battle. And Jacob is terrified. But then it says in verse 9, and Jacob said, "The God of my father Abraham, and the God of my father Isaac, the Lord who said to me, return to your country and to your family, and I will deal well with you. I am not worthy of the least of all the mercies and of all the truth which you have shown your servant. For I crossed over this Jordan with my staff, and now I have become two companies. Deliver me, I pray, from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau, for I fear him, lest he come and attack me and the mother with the children. For you said, I will surely treat you well, and make your descendants as the sand of the sea, which cannot be numbered for multitude." And we know the story that night, Abraham would get into a wrestling match with the angel of the Lord, with most likely Jesus Christ himself. And he clung to that. Let's look at Genesis chapter 32 and verse 24. It says, "Then Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until the breaking of day. And when he saw that he did not prevail against him, he touched the socket of his hip. And the socket of Jacob's hip was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, let me go, for the day breaks. But he said, I will not let you go unless you bless me. So he said to him, what is your name? And he said, Jacob. And he said, your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel. For you have struggled with God and with men and have prevailed. And Jacob asked, saying, tell me your name, I pray. And he said, why is it that you ask about my name? And he blessed him there. So Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. And we see a change in Jacob. Jacob is not only changed in name from Jacob, the heel grabber, the supplanter, the deceiver, to Israel, he who strives with God, or the prince of God. It's just a change in his life. And we see this picture of reconciliation. Not just with his brother. As in Genesis chapter 33, it says, but Esau ran to meet him and embraced him, and fell on his neck and kissed him, and they wept. But a difference in his relationship with his God. His life was changed. And do you think that for the rest of his life, he probably talks about his restored relationship with his brother and the miracle that God did on that day? But I don't know that through that whole event, that was the most important thing that happened to Jacob. The most important thing that happened to Jacob was prayer to God. How God answered him, the encounter with this wrestling man. To have someone that he had struggled with, that he had wrestled against, and to come out as the Prince of God. Someone with a new life, a new name, a new purpose, a new goal. When we get to the book of Colossians, we're going to look tonight as Christ reconciled. We were alienated from God. We were separated, estranged. We were alone and outsiders, shut out, cut off. Locked out. Because we were an enemy of God. But thank God that he fixed our relationship. He went out of his way to fix our relationship with him. Let's read in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 19 tonight, where it says, "For it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell, and by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross. And you, who were once alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he has reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight. If indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you have heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister." As we look at this passage, we see that we were enemies of God. Not because God didn't love us, not because God didn't care for us, but because we broke the relationship. It says in that passage, it says that we were once alienated and enemies in your mind and by wicked works. There are two reasons we are enemies of God. It says it right there. First, we were enemies with God because of our thoughts. In our minds, we decided that we would be God's enemy. It was a mental decision. And then after that, to show the world that we didn't want that relationship, we sinned. We took what was in our mind and in our thoughts, and we acted upon it. We did things that are wrong. If we are at war with God, if the relationship is broken, if there is something going on, it's not God's fault. It's our fault. But in that, when we were on the battlefield, God chose reconcile. He chose to end the hostilities, to fix the relationship. He's the one that went out of his way to not only end the battle of our soul, but to restore us to a right relationship.
wasn't enough for him to just say, okay, you know what? I forgive you. I wiped the debt clean. Wasn't enough for him to say, you've done things wrong. You've created this conflict. But he said, not only am I going to stop the hostility between you and me, not only am I going to bridge the gap, but I'm going to restore you to a right place and a right relationship. I'm going to go out of my way to fix this. So even though you have alienated yourself from me, you've created this distance, I'm going to come in and I'm going to make it right. I'm going to do the work that we need to bridge the gap. Reconciliation is a reason to rejoice. Because we couldn't do it on our own. It's something that we couldn't fix. We could struggle, wrestle with God, against Him, until we submit. We've got the barrier. But He stepped in and did things for us. It says in there, it says a very interesting phrase in verse 23. It says, if indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you have heard. At first glance, when you read that, it says, if indeed you continue in the faith. First glance, it says, boy, I better keep things right with God. I better be careful, because if I step out of line, that could be a passage that we can look at and we could say, maybe, possibly, we could lose our salvation. If we've stepped away from the faith, if we've stopped being grounded and steadfast, then can we, if we're saved, can we lose that? I think we have kind of a problem with, because we read that first word in verse 23, if. We miss, I think sometimes we just kind of skip over that second word. If, indeed. If we were looking at that properly, we should look and see that that's an expression of confidence. Maybe instead of looking at that as, if indeed you continue in your faith, maybe a different way to look at that, a proper way to translate that would be, since you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved from the hope of the gospel which you have heard. Paul is saying, I'm looking at the Colossians, your church, and as I see what's going on, there is evidence that you have been reconciled in your relationship with God. Think about that word reconciliation. It means to end hostilities and to restore a right relationship. Paul says, I see evidence of reconciliation. You continue in the faith. You are grounded and steadfast. And your hope is in the gospel. He says there is evidence of reconciliation there. He's not saying, hey, you need to keep on doing good things or else you're going to lose this and you can go right back to work. That's not what Paul is saying. Because Paul is the same guy who writes things like, not by works of righteousness, but according to his mercy, he says. He says things like in Ephesians chapter 2, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast.
Amen.
For we are created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained, that we should walk in them. He's not saying here, you need to keep on doing this, or else this will all... He said, no. He's saying, I'm looking at your church, and I see the evidence, the fruit of a relationship that has been reconciled. So here, as we look at this, if Paul were writing this to our church, would he say, if indeed You continue in the faith, grounded in steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you have heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister. When he said that this is an expression of confidence of the fruit of what's going on in your life. Is there evidence of a reconciled life? Because he's saying, if you are reconciled, this is what reconciliation looks like. The enmity, the hostility is gone. And the relationship is restored. So if we are really experiencing that reconciliation, salvation is not just a get out of hell free card. It is, you have been saved from hell to have a glorious eternal relationship with God in heaven. And because of that, reconciliation is something to rejoice. And it is something to be practiced. Today, I sat with my daughter and we watched a movie. I don't even know what movie it was, or it was a Christian film. And in it, there was a girl who did something terrible. To just destroy and humiliate one of her peers. And in it, she had to come to this girl who had Down syndrome. And she had insulted this girl with Down syndrome in front of the whole school. And that kind of, you know, I have a mentally handicapped uncle. And I said to my wife, I said, do you think people like really do that? Like that just seems so foreign, something foreign to me. But I think Michelle said, yeah, I think there are some people that do those types of things. And she had insulted this girl, and she has to come back up to this girl with Down syndrome and say, I'm sorry for what happened. And it was just so great, as this girl says, Jesus Christ forgave me. I'm going to forgive you.
Amen.
And that's reconciliation in practice.
Amen.
And we need to do that. And third, reconciliation is something to be shared. Not only are we rejoiced that God stepped down to this earth, onto the battlefield to say, let's stop this and let's fix this. Not only is it important that we go to our neighbors who have wronged us and say, it's okay, I accept your forgiveness, let's fix the relationship. It's something that we ought to be encouraging our neighbors to be doing. Encouraging our community to do. Encouraging our families to do. That may be one of the hardest areas to find reconciliation. As walls have been built up and things that are so hard, the broken relationships that come down. They need to be reconciled. Jesus Christ, reconciliation is something that is going to connect us to the Savior. And it's going to bridge relationships with a sinful world around us. It's something that I'm so thankful for, and I hope that we will continue to apply that and to share that with others. When I think about these, I said in Colossians chapter 1, let's look at the Savior and the things that he's done for us. He forgave us. And we have a picture going into that bank with a debt that we cannot pay. There's no way in our life we could pay it, that we could match what the debt that we have accumulated. And Jesus Christ says, I'm going to set that free. I'm going to forgive that debt because of the blood of Jesus Christ. And we feel that relief. We ought to turn around and share that with others. Then we talk about redemption, where we're brought before that slave market of sin, and we are shackled and in bondage to sin that has us trapped. And we're auctioned off as a worthless slave. And Jesus Christ purchased us with his blood, and he set us free to serve him. Are we thankful for that? And are we serving? And we went to war against God, first in our minds, and then in our actions. And then God steps onto the battlefield and says, I won. And we find ourselves at his feet, and hopeless. He says, let's end this. Let's end this fight. Let's have a new relationship. So when we talk about words like forgiveness, redemption, reconciliation, are we thankful to God that he has given us those great gifts? Are we practicing them? And taking what God has done for us and giving it to a world that so desperately needs? Let's think about this week, about maybe a relationship that we need to reconcile. And let's take some time and just thank the Lord for reconciling our relationship with him. Let's go to prayer. And just think in your hearts about, is there someone who maybe I've offended? Maybe I've got a broken relationship with. Christ was willing to step in and fix that broken relationship, to end the hostility and to restore the relationship. And when I think about Jacob meeting with his brother, and it was so terrifying. But his brother accepted him. The relationship was restored. How that must have made Jacob feel. And maybe we could be part of a ministry of reconciliation this week. If there's somebody who needs that, who you need to make things right with, let's pray. Lord, help us. Help us to live like you have for us to the world. I thank you so much that even though I ruined the relationship with you, you fixed it and you restored our relationship. And I pray that you'll help me to live for you this week and to fix those relationships that are broken. For it's in your Son, Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's turn your Bibles, our Kindles this evening, to 571.